This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, you guys are right. Yes, there was a huge mistake made. Alshon Jeffrey. Yes, I'm sorry. I forgot. That was a big one.
As of the final
minute. That one
was
a pretty big one. Yeah. That one was one they'll be talking about for a while. Yes, certainly in Philadelphia. So, yes, there was one. My apologies. I missed that.
I heard some people ripping Jason Garrett for not attempting a onside kick or some of his game management.
In this day and age, I don't think you can rip anybody for not attempting an onside kick.
No chance.
The NFL needs to do something about it. In fact, that might be one of my takeaways.
Takeaways.
Let's start there just for fun. Should they do something about the onside kick rule? 4%? It used to be close to 20. Now it's at 4%? I don't know what they do. Could they change the rules and say, if you are specifically attempting an onside kick, we're going to give you the option of allowing guys to stand 10 yards back and move enough people over there? I know you don't want to just reward the team that is down, but I just want it to be in that same 15 to 20% range. Now, that's one option. The other option is Roger Goodell's idea. Have you heard Roger Goodell's thought on what you could do instead of having onside kicks?
Is this the 4th and 15?
Yes. I think it could actually be 4th and 20, but fine. If you, instead of kicking off, we're going to give your team the ball. You have it. 4th and 20 at your own 20. So you've got to complete a 20-yard play, or 15, or whatever number you decide is.
Or run a QB draw.
Right, exactly. 4th and 15, 4th and 20, whatever it is. Would you be up for that instead of an onside kick?
That just feels just hokey to me.
It does, but it gives you the right percentages.
Making something out of nothing.
It gives you the right percentages that you could tinker with, and it's no more unsafe than any other football play.
My reaction is no. That just feels totally made up.
I like it. I like it. I think it's... But the onside kick feels
made up. Let's put a runner at second base with two outs.
Feels
that way.
No, it doesn't feel like
that. Feels contrived.
This is an attempt to deal with the safety issue in the game. The kickoffs are a major problem. They're working to take kickoffs away. And so you need to contrive something in order to bring back that same percentage to give the team. Because it's always been exciting to have teams attempt an onside kick. It's not exciting anymore. So why not find a different way to do it? I think how cool would that play be? All right, 4th and 15 to save your season. Let's go.
How cool is it to have takeaway music on a Monday?
It's great.
Yeah, I like this.
Only the Seahawks.
Takeaways.
All right, Miss Ashley, play me this cut at the very top of the sheet here. The mistake that did end it for Philly that I'm sure is going to be talked about for some time. That, by the way, Alshon Jeffrey totally owned after the game. But this was the big play, unfortunately, in the most compelling game of the weekend that ended it for the Eagles.
2x2 formation. Snap gets off before the 2-minute warning. Foles in the pocket, throws, and the ball's intercepted.
Go down.
The hands of Jeffries. Marshawn Lattimore. Yes, Marshawn Lattimore with his second interception of the game returns it to the 34. And better than any time this season, Saints, go take a photograph.
Was I the only one yelling at Marshawn Lattimore to stop running?
Could not believe Golden Tate didn't get that ball out.
Oh, my God. I
rewound
just assumed
and watched
that
it.
Was what was going to happen.
Golden did it and played it perfectly.
Right.
He snuck attack, and you watch. He did the same 6-inch punch you teach. And how that ball came like all the way up to Lattimore's ear hole. And then he kind of gathered it and then decided
to
go down.
Dude, take a knee.
Get down. Don't be a hero right there. Don't be a hero.
Oh, my God.
I will say this. If I don't know if this is necessarily a mistake, but I sure appreciate the way Russ operates in those 2-minute drills or 3-minute drills. They get the ball back with less than 3 minutes, and there's no panic. And you just felt it was frenetic with Philly. Like, just slow down. Make this the last possession. Don't give the ball back to Drew Brees with a minute 10. And then when they ran the ball with about, 225, 230 to play on first down, it's like, good. Run the ball, get to the 2-minute warning, and continue to take time. And then when they snapped it, and again, kind of a frenetic way, they got up and they snapped it like 201, and then the interception ensues. It really is one of the things. I know it drives people nuts at times, and I think I've probably gotten more used to it over 7 years, where Russ is so calm. Like that clock, it's just like a non-factor. He wants to take it down and give me the final shot, and I'm not going to give that guy the ball back. A big reason why he's had more fourth quarter and overtime game-winning drives than anybody, he and Stafford, over the last 7 years, period, end of story, is that he's willing to take it down to the very end for that final shot, and I thought Philly rushed things at the end of the game.
Yeah, it's in the...
Takeaways.
Like, we got a lot of takeaways.
Better so get to the next one. Quick, right? I've been told not to talk anymore about that one. I do agree with you, though. That didn't make a lot of sense. Like,
if you're going to run it on first down,
chill, dude.
Just run it to get to the clock, to the two-minute warning, and then...
The last thing you want is to give the Saints the ball back, because you'll lose the game.
Yes.
That's just pretty much in the bag. Yeah, I agree with you. All right. It was pretty clear, if you were watching the game, as I know most people were, that the Chargers were not even on the same field with the Patriots for a million different reasons. The quarterbacks, the defenses, the offenses, the running games, the passing game, everything. But I do wonder how much being on the road affected them. And this comes from Brent Musburger, of all people, who's now, you know, as into gambling as anybody because of the work.
He's the Raiders radio play-by-play.
But he pointed out that it was the third straight road trip for the Chargers. And if you go back and look over the last few weeks, what have they done? They finished the year at Denver, then at Baltimore, then at New England. So their second straight trip to the East Coast with a trip to Denver in there. If you go back a couple more weeks before that, they had to go to Kansas City and then at home versus Baltimore. So they've been on the road a lot. Four of the last 5 weeks of the season,
yes,
for the Chargers, including two East Coast trips in a row. And, you know, the dreaded 10 a.m. start time for them. Is that the reason they lost? No. Is that the reason they got blown out as badly as they did? Maybe. And maybe that affects some of the score. I mean, look, that and playing Tom Brady, I think, probably affected the Chargers.
Did I make those trips in my life? Yes. Was I affected by them, even as a backup quarterback? Yes. Do NFL teams, and especially one I think that is poorly run at times, as the Chargers are, do they take every care in the world, like this organization does, to make sure travel's right, to make sure nutrition's right, to make sure rest is right, to make sure practice time is right? No, they don't even have a facility of their own.
Did you see what happened to them when they tried to pull into to Foxborough? So their bus is pulling in and it was being blocked. Did you guys see this? Their bus is pulling in and being blocked, and the bus driver starts honking. Like, well, he comes out and he starts, "What's going on? You guys are blocking our way. What's going on there?" And then it turns out it was being shut down and blocked so that the Spanos family could arrive.
There you go.
That pretty much sums up the Chargers.
Takeaways.
Well, this was a point I was kind of proud of. That I shot with Schusen's way, and I thought I would share with all of you. Interceptions at the Pop Warner Junior High School and college level are going to go way up next year. You are going to see a very clear rate, a significant rate of interceptions go up because of Patrick Mahomes. Much like all these youngsters, when you go out, and I was watching some AAU basketball this weekend, and one of the dads like, "It's just a bunch of Steph Curry's out here. Look at this. All of these kids out here, right? Just bomb, 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 bomb." I mean, it's just what they, who's going to be the next Clay? Who's going to be the next Steph Curry? Who's going to be the next one launching it? That's what much of the youngsters watch, and it's what they do. And I guarantee you, you're going to see QBs at every level next year. Maybe not the NFL, but certainly at the Pop Warner Junior High School and even the college level, say, "Hey, why can't I scramble to my right, throw an Uncle Rico pass curveball around the D tackle and hit my tight end?" Yeah, because you're not capable of doing that. That's why. Well, look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at all of his arm angles. I'm going to go practice all of these arm angles. I'm going to do a million different things. Great. You're still not Patrick Mahomes.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
I think you're absolutely right that this is what's going to happen. And not surprised to hear what you're telling me about the Steph Curry and James Harden imitators. And just as when we were kids, people wanted to be like Jordan, the difference is they couldn't dunk. I mean, that was the only... If they could have, believe me, they would have played the game exactly the way Jordan did, because everyone was obsessed with him. And so, yeah, I think you're exactly right. That's what's going to happen. Now, the thing is, there will be, because of it, though, some other creative, flamboyant-type quarterbacks that will emerge that are able to do that.
Yes.
Most won't, but there may be a few more that do, and maybe that ends up being a good thing for the game.
You know what was cool in that broadcast is watching Mahomes, the baseball player. And I remember prepping for his games at Texas Tech and seeing some of that footage and everything else. But you just see just how powerful his arm was. As a pitcher, how he utilized his whole body when he was in the outfield, as he's crow hopping and launching lasers from right field to third base. And, you know, he carries that over into his game. You know, he's a little bit like Russell. I think at times he's a little too long. I think there's a little bit of a windup at times. And you see some of his passes go, shh, shh. I mean, he threw some sliders into the turf as well. But, yeah, you're going to see a bunch of youngsters say, if Patrick can do it, I can do it. And you're right. There'll probably be some positive benefit from it. There'll be a lot of coaches pulling their hair out, too.
Pass and scouting in this morning on Golic and Wingo said he has got a better football arm than he does baseball arm, which is interesting.
Takeaways.
Here's a simple takeaway for you. The Eagles with Fletcher Cox are a lot better than the Eagles without him.
Sort of like a bagpipe situation.
Yeah, songs with bagpipes are better than songs without bagpipes. Eagles with Fletcher Cox are better than the Eagles without him for a bunch of different reasons. But you saw, as soon as he left that game for a while with a foot injury, the Saints started to move the ball really for the first time in the game, scored a few of their points, and then he came back in and it was much more even again. He is a disruptive force. And I know we talked quite a bit this year and about how Jaron Reed took this huge step forward, and he did, about how Jaron Reed turned himself into one of the better players in the game, certainly the better defensive lineman in the game this year, and I truly believe he did. But he's not Fletcher Cox. He is just an absolute train wreck force on the defensive line, and it certainly helps to have Brandon Graham and Michael Bennett and the other guys there, but he's a beast, man.
I tell you what, man, I'd do anything for this team, man. You definitely probably have to probably cut one of my limbs off of me and not be out there with those guys. I fought through some stuff, and respect each one, all these guys in this locker room enough to go out and, you know, if I'm able to go, then I'll be out there, and these guys know
a
that.
A warrior playing through that yesterday, Brock.
So, earmuffs, Lydia, because you don't like any of this body image stuff, but did you notice Fletcher Cox? And this isn't even that gross or weird, but do you notice how he reminded me of a couple guys that were in my era, Warren Sapp and Cortez Kennedy, that had legs like a linebacker and then just happened to have this massive, you know, just girth from the waist up. Right, they just carry all of this weight up top. But then, like, Fletcher Cox is walking on and off the field. And trust me, like, if you just looked at his legs, he looked like a 240-pound linebacker. He just then so happens to have, like, another 100 pounds of just girth. And it wasn't the prettiest with Sapp or Tez or I think even Fletcher at times. But he is – and that's what Jaron did to a degree this year. You know, he cut the weight down. He got just hyper-athletic. And when you have got that unique ability, man, it is – yeah, it's a game wrecking force.
Yeah, anybody on the defensive line that is able to do that, and you saw throughout the league. Look, this is sort of a separate takeaway, but pass rush matters, man. If you want to affect the game, we had Ken Norton tell us the other day that the pass rusher was just as important on the defensive side as the quarterback is on the offensive side. Think about that.
Yep.
Well, you saw it. I mean, watching Trey Flowers, the other Trey Flowers who plays for New England, watching Aaron Donald, watching Brandon Graham, watching Marcus Davenport, watching those guys force bad decisions, I thought that was a huge, huge part of the weekend. And unfortunately for the Chargers, their pass rushing guys just weren't able to do anything. And they have good pass rushers, right? With Melvin Ingram, certainly. I mean, that's a good pass rush team. They did nothing to affect Tom Brady, and because of it, he picked them apart.
Takeaways.
If the Seahawks are going to continue to be a run-run pass, and continue to implement more run game than anybody else in this league, Mike, there needs to continue to be, I think, a search for creativity in that run game. There was a whole lot more of it this year than we have seen in Pete's first 7-8 years here with Tom Cable. There were a lot of it. But as I watched that football this weekend, it wasn't just simply zone inside and zone read. There was a lot of innovation. In fact, I thought the Rams were at the forefront of it in that Gurley 39-yard touchdown run. You know, it's kind of, I don't know, told the whole tale of how Dallas could never get comfortable in their front seven.
Goff under center, hands the ball off on a delay. Gurley, a huge room up the middle, he's gone. 20, 10, to the 5, sprints past the Rougier, touchdown Gurley.
You've got to have creative run in this league. Yesterday, Philly had one jet sweep. Right, they got their little fast wide receiver involved, 13-yard gain, and they didn't run it again. Like, where is that again? Like, why aren't you continuing to stretch and to test and that eye discipline and everything that the Rams did, man, with their flurry of activity and all of that, you know, jets? It almost is like a wing tee. When you watch the Rams play and run for nearly 300 yards on those Cowboys, when the Seahawks twice against them had such struggles, you're like, well, how is that possible? Where's the ball going? Where's the misdirection going? Where's the jet sweep going? Where's the pull game going? And really affecting them and listening to their center, a really smart guy, Sullivan, say post-game, yeah, we felt like we had a beat on them. right, really studying them and looking at their techniques. This is the advantage of having 2 weeks like the Patriots had. You know, when they got into these alignments and when they had these splits and when they had this tilt, we felt like we had a pretty good bead on what we were doing. And then we had a plethora of run game to get to that absolutely took Dallas apart.
Is there more ingenuity in the run game with these teams that are winning? I mean, I heard Romo mention it yesterday. What did he call it? The I formation lead draw that the Patriots ran. We saw some other runs that we saw a lot of counters and stuff from New Orleans.
It's just this fine line, right? It's always this line you navigate. And New England somehow does this better than anybody. We're going to be this kind of team. We're going to be E Green Right 93 Blast. That's our identity. This is what we're going to hang our hat on. This is what we have a conviction about. We're going to be an inside and outside zone team. Like, you have to be able to land on something. And I don't ever think you deviate from it necessarily, and just kind of that mantra, Mike, but you better have a full tool bag. Like, I need the Phillips, I need the flathead, I need the drill, I need the hammer, I need the chisel, I need all of it. New Orleans' best run yesterday was just ISO with a fullback, and they got to that late in the game, right? And so I think being able to mix and match a ton of that, and over the course of the season, the Seahawks did. I mean, how many different running backs were productive? And Tyler was good on the jet sweep. And, you know, they did more of it this year, but by no means is that an end game story. I think they can continue to build on that. And you certainly see the Rams do it as well as anybody.
Takeaways.
Is the Nick Foles story over? Did that pick end it? Will he be back? Will he go somewhere else and succeed the way he did in Philadelphia? I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong, because certainly we've all been wrong about Nick Foles like every single time, and he just seems to go out there and find ways to win. But I just wonder whether or not that interception broke the spell that seems to have been on Nick Foles here for the last, what, year and a half or so. He spoke about the offseason after the game.
You know, I'm not really going to worry about it right now. I think, you know, I'm just going to do what I can to enjoy this fight back with my teammates. And we'll see what happens. I do know that, you know, we went out there and gave it everything we had tonight, and that's where, you know, everyone's got to keep their heads held high, because that's what it's about. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but ultimately, if you give it everything you have, you know, that's what it's about.
He's got all the right mental credentials. He's found ways to win. Quite frankly, it wasn't his fault that they lost that game. I mean, who knows what happens if Jeffrey just catches the ball that hits him in the hands. And yet, when you watch Nick Foles, he doesn't have the same physical ability of most of the elite quarterbacks in the game. Does somebody else pay him a ton of money? Maybe. But if they do, is their team good enough for him to win with them? I would doubt it. So I wonder whether that just sort of ends the spell.
I think we're going to have a massive amount of QB turnover. I think there's a bunch of backups like the Teddy Bridgewaters in a lot of different places, or trades, or Tannehills, and eight new coaches wanting their own kind of new guy. I think there's an opportunity to see a lot of turnover. I also wonder, Nick Foles has been in this league over a decade, right? He's had failure in other spots. I think he's also smart enough to realize, I got to be at the right fit with the right place. And let's not just assume Carson Wentz, who's had two seasons now, wrecked and ravaged by injury, just may not be a durable guy. I mean, to be there and to sit in the wings on a loaded team that's going to be good against next year, that got to that place as beat up as any team in this league, I don't know if Nick Foles is just going to be clamoring all of a sudden for just some final payday. Maybe after what he's done the last 2 years, but I think he's also smart enough to know, I better be in the right place.
Yeah, a lot of people saying it wasn't Foles' fault. No kidding. I'm not saying it was his fault. I mean, he did everything he would need to do. Not his fault at all. But Wentz is in all likelihood eventually going to be their quarterback again, whether that's the right decision or not. And assuming that that's the direction they go, and that Foles ends up being a starter somewhere else, or at least going somewhere else.
I like Wentz an awful lot.
It's hard for me to imagine that he's going to have the same level of success, but hey, who knows?
Take away.
All right, you want kind of a goofy one? Lydia's ready for kind of a goofy one. I can tell.
Let's go.
Enough of the serious football talk stuff.
I like all that too, but
the NFL fines you, and I nearly got fined one time because I was trying to mess around with my socks and have them at certain height and make it look good for me. Like, they are so particular. You got to wear these shoes. You got to wear this belt. You got to have this. They are so particular about their uniform. And then Michael Bennett's on the field. There's no chance that they can allow those pads to come into play next year, because other guys are going to look at it and say, it's advantageous for Michael. He doesn't give that tackle anything to grab. I mean, they've got smaller this year from what we saw in Seattle. Like his whole delts are now popping
up. It's kind of like he's just wearing like one of those fancy capes.
It's like a scarf.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a scarf.
Yeah.
It's the Michael Bennett scarf.
And man, what a load he was yesterday.
He played well yesterday.
That may have been the best $2 million investment that the Eagles have made. And, you know, I think it was healthy here. I think he needed a healthy change. This team needed a healthy change. He was awesome yesterday. Man, was he ever dominant. But I don't know, equipment-wise, how the league can look at that and look at himself in the mirror and go, we got to fix this because this is not a good look.
Yeah. A couple other thoughts that are similar to that. First of all, the NFL gets it right with their halftime. Maybe not in the Super Bowl. Maybe we can all debate that. But halftime in the NFL is so fast.
Yeah.
Why does college football need to take an hour between halves?
You want that?
What are they doing?
Do you want that answer?
Yeah, it's probably money.
No. Actually, it's not money.
I'm sure it's money.
No, it's not.
It's always money.
I don't think it's totally money. I'm sure money plays a role.
Money.
Nope.
It's money.
It's five letters. An American Pie followed by a camp. Bands. Bands are a big reason that halftime's in college. Seriously. Because I've talked about this before with ESPN and others.
It is interminably long.
But for those bands to have the opportunity and those kids work their tail off, and that is their opportunity to go out there and have their chance to perform.
My mom gets so excited anytime we get a glimpse of the marching band.
There you
because
go.
That's just such a part of college football culture. She
there
has memories
go.
From going to
that's
the games
exactly
when
right.
she was in college and seeing the band.
Isn't there a way to have the bands play and also not have halftime take forever?
Yeah, the Pac-12 actually, about the only thing they've gotten right. They're the first on the cutting edge. They cut it to 15. They give each coach the opportunity, said, you want the 20-minute half or the 15?
Mm.
And most coaches, when given the opportunity, say, 15, let's go. Let's get
how
this
long is the NFL
going.
Half?
Either 10 or 12.
Oh, so much better. I mean, honestly, it just changes the whole vibe of a game. I think the NFL gets that right. You know what else the Saints get right? And I think they were the first to do it. Maybe it was the Ravens. But the fact that their black pants that they wear has no other color on them. There's no stripe. There's no nothing. I think that's what first made the Saints cool. Because when we were kids, the Saints weren't really that cool. They did have they had that year with the good linebackers and stuff, but the Saints were never really cool. And then they changed their uniforms and got cool. I don't think that's a coincidence. Maybe it is.
Could be. I got like takeaways. We're going to have to do this
out.
At 9:30. We're going to have to come back to a couple of these at 9:30.
Do we?
Has Drew Brees lost some on his fastball?
Yes.
Or am I the only one?
Certainly in his deep ball.
Man, he could not throw that deep ball. Right, the pick early, and then underthrew another touchdown. They actually later in the game, Taysom Hill.
Yes.
And that was a cool wrinkle. That was as much about, hey, I'm going to really mess and blow their wires.
I was thinking about that play, and I was thinking about everything. The one where Taysom Hill wasn't able to get it because Breeze underthrew him a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had the guy beat.
Yes.
I was thinking about everything you've told me about Tyler Lockett and the way he uses his leverage and this and that. Taysom Hill did not do Drew Brees any favors on that. He had the guy beat.
Yep.
If he just slows up and jumps back for the ball, it's definitely pass interference, and you get the ball at the one-yard line.
Yep.
You're right. Drew Brees underthrew it, and if he'd given him a little bit more air under the football, then yes, it's a touchdown. But Taysom Hill did not play that like an elite wide
Taysom
receiver
Hill
at all.
Taysom Hill is not a wide receiver.
Understood, right. But that's part of the problem, is if he gives him a better chance.
Just do the read faster and throw the ball earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Know yourself.
Hey, by the way, a little formula here, too, for Pete. Pete's little formula of rushing attempts plus completions. To me, that resonated more than any stat. Outside of even the raw rushing yards that favored the home team by nearly 500 yards over the weekend. But how about Pete's formula in these four games? In the New Orleans game, 59-36. In the New England game, 68 rushes plus completions for the Patriots to just 35 of the Chargers. The day before, the Rams, 63 to Dallas's 42, and the Chiefs, 60-33 for Indy. Why were these games not terribly competitive over the weekend? Yeah, because the team that runs it and finds those completions, Pete's magic formula, he likes completions too, and the rushing attempts totally dominated the efforts.
All right, there you go. That is a set of takeaways from the divisional round weekend. Quick question for you, Brock, and it's come up here on the text machine.
Uh-oh.
How many letters in band?
B-A-N-D.
Right.
Right.
So why did you say five letters?
Bands.
Oh, bands.
Yes, the bands, plural, because both home and road got to play.
Okay.
Yeah, but then when I used the band camp thing, it just kind of screwed
Shortened
that up.
Shortened it to four.
Yeah, no, it was definitely five for bands because the bands have to play at halftime.
Right.
It's part of, as Lydia's mom knows, the fabric of college football.
There you go. All right, well, still annoying. In any event, coming up next, something that was the opposite of that for most people, in fact, nearly everybody. Maybe the best sound you'll hear today. Don't go anywhere. It's next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Don't that feel real funky, y'all?
All right, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We'll have the phone lines open at 9 o'clock. Have some conversation with you guys about what we all saw this weekend and what it tells us about these Seahawks. Also, I'd love to at some point get to the sound from one completely insane athlete who used to play some of his ball here in Seattle. So we'll see if we can get to that here in a few minutes. But Brock, you were as enamored with what we heard over the weekend as anybody. I would say you, how many times did you send this to me? A couple anyway.
Did I?
I think so.
I know I texted it to you guys.
It's Snoop Dogg doing some play-by-play, or maybe it's color Snoop commentary guy. Of an L.A. Kings game. He's calling some hockey, which is just a natural fit, as you'd imagine.
If you're hanging around, you're doing this job.
Here's the power play. We're going to face off real quick. Ref about to drop the puck on the ice. We're real close to our side of the line. He drops it. He didn't drop it. He paked him. Baked him, and faked him. Here we go again. Come on, ref. You're looking at his eyes. Drop the puck.
Here we go again. Let's go. More Snoop.
You got to get a new person in there. Out of there. You talk too much. Somebody else. New guy. Dropped it. There it goes. Get your back. Watch your back. There it is. Right behind his back. 23 trying to slide in where he ride in. Up against the wall. Kicks it up against the knees. There it is right there. Oh, good. Quick pass to the inside, outside. Quick. Retrieves the puck. Slows it down. Holds it down. Power play. Not effective.
Should there be more rhyming in play-by-play, Brock? I think that's ultimately the question that we have to ask.
Slide it in where you write it in. I'm going to fit that one in next year.
Should we have more rhyming in general in play-by-play? What do you think?
Yes.
Hey, was that Doty?
Oh, yeah.
Doty, Doty, Doty. That's my dog. Let's go. Run the weave. Run a three-man weave. Get there. Get there. Get there. Get there. Get there. Watch your back. Turn it around. Get there. Come on. Good job, Doty. Good pass. Give it back to him. Oh, get there. Come on now.
Do you like Snoop better when he's cheering for his team while doing play-by-play or when he's rhyming?
Both.
I would say rhyming for sure.
Press. There you go. Get there. Get there. Take a shot. Take a shot. Somebody got to be willing to take a shot. It can't be all passes. Somebody got to want that money. Who wants the money? Who wants the money? Somebody got to want that moolah.
Somebody got to want that moolah, bro.
He's asking the questions that no one's willing to ask.
Yes, he is.
We watch a game. There's all sorts of questions. Bob Stelton would love this.
He would.
There are always questions that need to be asked, and these play-by-play guys are not willing to ask them. No, Snoop Dogg is.
Nor are they willing to rhyme while doing play-by-play.
Amen to that.
So maybe Snoop's the perfect play-by-play guy. He's willing to ask the tough questions. He's willing to rhyme, which few are. It's impressive, especially considering, I think by all accounts, Snoop's a basketball guy. He used to come, when we were in college, he used to come play basketball at our school sometimes. He used to see Snoop out there playing some pickup. And here he is out there. He's become a Kings fan.
Well, you know, spacing's a big deal in hockey and basketball.
Doty, 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 Doty.
They run the three-man weave in basketball, too, and they do it, I guess, on the hockey rink as well?
Yeah, they run a weave of sorts. I wouldn't say it's quite exactly the same, but yeah, I could see how you would call
it. It's typically three men, right?
Yeah, three on two break, and they sort of give and go and cross
over
and stuff.
So why weren't you as enamored as I was?
I was fine. I don't know. I just, look, it's not fair. I'm being unfair, but there's just that element of this is my sport. I love hockey, as I know a lot of people out there do. And it feels a little contrived and like, oh, how cute. It's Snoop calling a hockey game. That's the only reason we ever pay attention to hockey.
Right.
That's all. And he was great. It's not a shot at Snoop.
Lydia, you share some of this,
right?
And
it was funny, but it is a little of, oh, look, hockey needs to pull some sort of a stunt in order for people to pay attention to it.
Mine's kind of different. Mine is more, if I listened to this for an entire game, I might, if I was an actual fan, I would probably be, I want to know what's going on
right in
the game. But for just entertainment purposes, no, I loved it.
Well, it was cool. I'm not knocking it. I just don't like jump up and, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. He saved hockey. Like, it was fine. It was cool. It was funny. I'm impressed that he can rhyme. But also,
does it feel a little Bill Walton-esque? Because that's certainly the complaint Bill Walton gets. Like, come on, just call the game.
Yeah, but Bill,
do we need the
entertainment?
Do we need the show?
Mike,
he needs it.
I think it's a little interesting that you are poking fun at some people who are maybe trying to insert themselves into, you know, the game, whereas
right.
that's something that you specifically have tried in the past.
All right, as we continue on here, bottom of the ninth, 1-1 count to Russell Wilson.
Hey.
Thunder down 1-0 after the early error.
You're not going to play this whole thing, are you? We'll be here for the rest of the day.
We don't have time to play.
All right, turn that off. What else do you have back there, Joker?
Well, I just thought it would be interesting if we looked at other sports, maybe particularly football, and went down the celebrity path. What would it sound like if we had celebrities on the call? I think it's a good idea. Like, what if Al Pacino was calling Seahawks games with Steve Rabel?
Out of the back of the end zone is the receiver who made an incredible leap.
Passed over. One that got away.
But he's out of the back of the end zone, and what a throw by Mahomes running full speed.
Ooh, wow. Y'all did yourself.
But all of that for an incompletion as he was hit.
God doth have a sense of humor.
It's good. No rhyming, though, unfortunately.
No, but I mean, it added a lot of, I would say, a lot of color to the broadcast.
A lot of flavor. Was that last one from the Devil's Advocate?
Yeah. What if Christopher Walken was, like, providing a little bit more context into the plays that were happening
Creepy.
In a football game?
Fourth and 35 from his own 37. Cunningham is going to come up about a mile and a half short. He stopped short of the midfield stripe, and the Seahawks offense is going to come on the field and line this baby out.
There are two types of people in the world. Those who are content to blend in. These people walk through life like beige socks. Uninspired and bored. Eventually, the beige sock people get lost. Or devoured by ones who stand out. Do you want to be devoured?
It's great.
Right, thanks very much.
It's great that whenever Christopher Walken talks, music even plays behind him.
Like, that's amazing.
He's got that level of power over
Fox
the
Fox tried it just with the actual gameplay a few years ago with the Seahawks
right.
playing the Pirates of the Caribbean music. I think they missed it. They got to find the right color analyst
right.
and put it under him.
Yes.
I mean, Brock, for example, really wanted to hear what Morgan Freeman would sound like in the play-by-play booth.
Russell scampers out of trouble. Look out. Now he scrambles to the left side. Now he turns upfield. 40, 35. Midfield 40. 35, 30 down the near sidelines. And finally slides out of bounds. Russell, we almost said, no, no, no. Yes, baby.
I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice.
Was that everything you'd hoped it would be, Brock?
Pretty good.
I think that's kind of what you were looking for.
And lastly, I know that Brock has a real affinity for the Monday Night Football crew, and that's a big thing we've talked about. I thought that maybe Ice Cube might be able to add to that Monday Night Football crew to make it really something that it really isn't right now.
I'll tell you what, you saw Aaron Rodgers there. Blood on his elbow. Big old knee brace on. Hitting the wrist. It doesn't matter. He pulls another rabbit out of his head.
Why every time you speak, I'm going to throw the up?
You know, Ice Cube, I think, kind of got lost there. Maybe he was thrown off by the rabbit out of his head comment. I don't know, but it seems like it kind of screwed up Ice Cube.
Isn't Ice Cube all of us listening to Jason Witten?
I think he might be. All right, there you go. Well,
why every time you speak, I'm going to throw the up?
So when we finally get the NHL team here, you want someone who can rhyme to be their play-by-play guy?
You think Tyler Wicke's going to bring up Snoop, a little part-time deal?
I don't know if it would be Snoop specifically. I mean, Snoop's probably pretty expensive, but somebody else who can rhyme?
Yeah.
Would you want that?
No, I don't think so.
You're not looking for
Yeah, like Lydia said. I think over the course of maybe a couple hours, it'd probably get a little bit tough, but it was fun. You did a good job.
I mean, Doc Emmerich has, like, what is it, 300 different ways to say pass?
Who wants to make that money? Come on.
Hmm.
Shoot it.
Who wants to make that money?
Take the shot.
Who wants to make that moolah?
Take that shot, Salt.
All right, coming up next, we got a little good news, bad news, no news, and we'll talk to you guys instead of howdy, which should be a win for everybody. It's next. I'm Brock and Salt.
Good news.
Yes!
Bad news.
No!
No news. Now, here's Brock and Salt.
Not a lot of fans of Howdy's bit, I got to tell you, based on the text reaction.
Not a lot of fans in general right now.
I was going to say, most of the text reaction on everything is pretty negative.
Very bad.
Text machine is as negative as I've ever seen it today.
Really?
Brock. Yeah, I don't know whether it's Viadoom. Is it bad out there? Can you guys let us know? Text us. How bad is Viadoom?
People are actually in their car and sitting so they can text.
Yeah.
They have all these thoughts, but they're driving. They've never been able to really express
them. Is it bad? 710-710 powered by Coors Light. I'm just kind of idly curious. And then, yeah, I think most people that are fun and happy, they're not listening right now because the Seahawks lost and they're out. And so we're left with the people who are listening with anger.
And that's okay.
And you're just letting loose. And I appreciate that.
We enjoy that.
We're here to be there.
We're a safe place for you.
Well, Scott Cochran, let it out! Let it out! You gotta feel the pain!
What else is in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Washington Huskies, they get their first road trip sweep in Pac-12 conference play in the past 6 years with wins over Utah and Colorado.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for them. But yeah, you're right. We mentioned this in Need to Know, and a bunch of the Cougar fans were mad we didn't mention them. Yeah, that angry text story was from the onset of this show. Mike Hopkins is building, I think he's building something pretty special here in Seattle. I hope it's not too special and he departs. I hope that he wants to look at this job and feel like, hey, I can be here for 5 to 10 years. That they waited for 20 and this is the right spot to really lay down the foundation because he's doing an excellent job. A year ago, he had a team that nobody thought would be relevant whatsoever. You know, midseason talked about being a tournament team. And this team was ranked in the top 25, fell short on the road. And that's a bummer now that as you look at it, they're 12-4. If they could have just got one of those versus a Gonzaga, one of the top 25 teams, top 15 teams, Virginia Tech or Auburn, if they could have just got one of those, you would feel so differently, well, I think, about their RPI and the tournament challenge.
And for look, this is obviously good news, but it's news that I feel like I've heard before. Right, we've kind of gone down this road soon after the Seahawks lose and you're into the playoffs of the NFL and everyone around starts looking around like, hey, could I get into this Husky basketball team? And right away, they give you a little bit of hope and win a couple of big games and you go, oh, they're fun, they're exciting. And then we get El Foldo at the end of the year. So I'm hoping that this
group is a lot deeper, though. This group is much more battle-tested. This group is loaded with seniors, Mike, that I would hope helped offset some of that. Not their own one-and-done agendas. All right, not on their own schedule, but a bunch of guys that have been here and I think stuck around here because they knew it would be hard with Hop. You know, I told that wall sit story earlier today and, you know, Hop and what he did and the sprints he put him through and the hills they ran and the stairs they climbed and all the, you know, the bloodies and bloody noses, everything that he did behind the scenes. I think this crew wanted to be here, and kudos to you. Congratulations for the first time in 6 years taking care of business with a road sweep.
I tell you, people text again saying there's no traffic. Biden traffic is great today.
I'm literally looking at travel times. I'm looking at travel times. Nothing really over an hour.
Yeah. Literally no difference. Surprisingly good commute from Tacoma to downtown on I-5 this morning.
Yeah, Miss Mora, John Clayton's producer, said, nah, it was fine. Left Burien.
So people
left early.
How is that possible?
Federal way to Seattle, 45 minutes.
So, I mean, that many people either aren't working or have
all left, or all left when Ashley left at 2 a.m. this morning. Thinking they were going to beat it, and you guys were actually the ones all stuck on the road.
I mean, I'm telling you, it was kind of busy at like 4:45 this morning.
Right.
Oof. Good news, bad news, no news.
Via gloom. Sorry.
Kyler Murray met with
sounds more like via
and the Major
Zoom.
League Baseball, and the league may be changing their rules to keep Kyler Murray in baseball.
What'd you say, bro?
Sorry, I was caught up in via Zoom. You could just via Zoom in from Tacoma. Downtown.
Baseball may change its rules to keep Kyler Murray.
Via boom, boom.
And we wonder why the text mole
is
hating
via
on us today.
Will you answer the question? This via is good news, bad news,
boom.
No news. Not pun news.
You and I could do an hour on this topic.
Yes.
And then the text will get really mad.
Yes.
But I find it that fascinating with about 8 different tentacles. Overall, I think this is great news. I said it earlier to John Clayton. This is baseball not taking a back seat. Say, nope, you know, we're not going to lose one of our biggest stars, a known commodity, a guy that's got some personality, is an immensely talented kid. How good of a baseball player will be in major leagues? Who knows? But we are just not going to lay down and you know, let the NFL and him walk all over us. And if we need to change our rules and adapt some of our bylaws to give him the opportunity to play baseball first, I think it's good news.
He's got some unique leverage, which is why this is happening to begin with.
You want to explain it?
Yeah, let me try, and I'll probably not get it right, but I'll do the best I can. And Howdy and Lydia, you guys can try to jump in if I screw this up. But Kyler Murray was drafted by the A's with, what, the number 9 pick last year. They gave him around a $4 million signing bonus at the time. And in that deal, he promised not to go to the NFL, said he would stay in baseball. That was part of the deal they signed. Well, now that he's projected as a first-round pick, he's saying, well, no, I actually kind of want to go play football, and now they're having to negotiate. baseball put in a rule a few years ago that said you can't just give major league deals to first-round draft picks right off the bat, and that was because of guys like Dustin Ackley and others who immediately wanted to go to the to the majors or very, very soon after getting into the game, and so teams guaranteed their money, spent more and more, and put them onto the major league 40-man roster so that they would have to be called up faster. And agents like Scott Boras really pushed for it. Well, baseball said, look, this isn't good for the game. It's not good that we're spending the money, and it's not good for the game of baseball and the development of our potential stars. And so they made this rule change a couple of years ago. Well, now they're talking about essentially making an exception just for Kyler Murray. And the other 29 teams in baseball are saying, yeah, we're okay with this as long as this wasn't the A's plan all along to skirt the rule. Mm. And by all accounts, it wasn't. Or the Oakland A's, the last thing they ever wanted to do is spend $15 million on the number nine overall pick. So I think that baseball is definitely okay with it and making an exception to try to lure a premier athlete back to its sport. As long as this doesn't become the norm, I'm all in for baseball doing this because I think it's been great for the development of young stars to actually have to be on the right timeline and beholden to the way the team wants to bring them through the minor league system. But I get why Kyler Murray is trying to use whatever leverage he has, and his is unique.
Are you sure it's been the best thing? Are you sure from a marketing standpoint, some of your young stars, are you sure it's been the best thing in the big picture?
To not rush guys to the big leagues? Yes.
Okay. I think from a baseball perspective, absolutely. And protect their careers and hopefully their longevity. I just wonder from the star power, if you get a Steven Strasburg star or a Kyler Murray or somebody out of high school.
I don't think the star power changes. I mean, they could get built up over those couple of years before they finally get there. So I don't think it's hurt the star power. Kyler Murray has unique star power because of what he's done outside of baseball.
Via Doom.
No, it's not even real. No, it's not true.
Did that just happen?
That was just for the texters. Whoa. Sorry about that. That was awesome. Don't want to happen there.
Via Boom.
We're not even going to do the next part of the segment.
No,
because,
I guess that's pretty much over.
People will hate it so much.
Yeah, we've just got to move right on.
I was going to say Miles Bryant will return for his senior season at UW.
Yeah, I think that's good news.
UW got their nickel back.
Gosh. All right, we have to move on. The jokes have gotten worse. The text machine is getting angrier, and for good reason. All right, we'll do this. Instead of the text, we'll see if we can open it up to some calls.
Oh boy.
What did you want to see? You guys watched all these teams play. You saw four teams win this weekend. Is there a team that you want the Seahawks to morph into? How do you want to see the Seahawks change as they approach the 2019 offseason? We're ready to hear from you guys. 206-421-3776. We have our thoughts, and we'll take yours next. I'm Brock and Salk.